The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Bob Burney Live. Looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
We're in trouble, folks. We are in trouble. When some of America's premier educational institutions go absolutely insane. Crazy, certifiably nuts. Now, that's a technical term. Some of you probably don't understand that, but certifiable nuts. Yeah. Get this. This is a story, a true story. This is not a parody. This is not from The Onion. This is not from the Babylon Bee. This is a real story. A department at Harvard, at the Harvard Medical School. It is the Harvard Medical Postgraduate and Continuing Education Department. They issued a tweet recently that'll blow your mind. And you tell me this is not pure insanity at the highest level. And this is at Harvard. All right, Harvard Medical School. They issued a tweet recently, and I will read you the tweet. Here it is. Quote, globally, ethnic minority pregnant and birthing people. Pregnant and birthing people. That's a phrase I've never heard of. Have you? Any of you? Raise your hand. Anybody? Raise your hand. I can see you. Nobody? Nobody's heard of birthing people? Okay, let me start over again. Globally, ethnic minority pregnant and birthing people suffer worse outcomes and experiences during and after pregnancy and childbirth. This was tweeted by the Harvard Medical Postgraduate and Continuing Education. They were promoting a panel at Harvard on, quote, maternal justice. Now, they issued the tweet, and a whole lot of people tweeted back, what is a birthing person? Never heard of it. There were professionals, doctors, who were tweeting back, what is a birthing person? So, the Harvard Medical Postgraduate Twitter account followed up and tried to clarify. And here is what they said in their clarification. And I'm quoting, the webinar panelists used the term birthing persons to include those who identify as non-binary or transgender because... Okay, I got to issue a warning, all right? If you are driving a car, please put your hands firmly on the steering wheel. Both hands on the steering wheel. And if at all possible, please find something to use to attach your head to your shoulders. Maybe a bungee cord. Don't put it around your neck, but somehow find a bungee cord, some kind of cord, twine, whatever, to affix your head to your shoulders so it doesn't spin off into space. Are you ready? I'm going to start the clarification tweet again. Here we go. Ready? The webinar panelists used the term birthing person to include those who identify as non-binary or transgender because Not all who give birth identify as women or girls. Can I read that to you again? Because not all who give birth identify as women or girls. They weren't finished. They went on. We understand the reactions to this terminology and in no way meant for it to erase or dehumanize women. Yeah. So, not all who give birth identify as women or girls. So, pregnant people are now called birthing people. Birthing people. So we're back to this identity thing. Okay, you know, I've been thinking about this identity thing. When I was in high school, I was skinny as a rail. I mean, I was really, really skinny. You wouldn't think of that when you look at me now, but I really was. I was much too small to play any position in football. And I grew up in Southern California, where some really solid football in my high school, Dominguez High School in Compton, California, put out some pretty incredible athletes. I was much, much too small to play football, and I was much too short to play basketball. So I did run track and had some success in track. I was okay in track. I did all right. But I really wanted to play football or basketball. So here I am. If you promise not to tell anybody, if you promise to keep this a secret, I'm 72. I turned 72 in November. Now I am in a complete state of denial. I don't feel 72. I hope I don't act 72. And I'm just kind of I'm in a state of denial. I have been since the 70th birthday. I'm just not accepting it. I'm just not. But since I have always wanted to play football, and I was deprived of that when I was in high school, what do you think? If I, I'm broadcasting from Ohio. What if I went to the Cleveland Browns or the Cincinnati Bengals and said, I identify as a 22-year-old running back, and I identify as 6'2", 205 pounds, and I can run the 100 and four, you know, in 4.4. That's how I identify. By the way, both the Cleveland Browns and the Cincinnati Bengals could use someone like that. Or, since we're broadcasting in Tampa today, I could go to the Buccaneers and say, hey, guys, I identify as a first-round draft pick running back. And the people at the football team say, you look like a 72-year-old dude. Worn out, man. Yeah, well, that's so deceiving, isn't it? Because that's not how I identify. Okay, I realize how ridiculous and loony that is. Is it any more ridiculous or loony for a man to simply say, I identify as a woman? Or a woman who is pregnant and about ready to give birth say, I identify as a man. I don't want to be called a woman. I identify as a man. If it's some kind of magic, all you have to do is say the words. Today, in many states across America, and I'm not exaggerating. If a man wants to go into a woman's dressing room, locker room, shower room, dressing room, all he has to do and say, I feel pretty, oh, so pretty. I feel pretty and I feel like a woman. And several states in the United States, no one can question that man, stop that man. All he has to do is say, I identify as a woman. So evidently, it's magic. All you have to do is say the words. So, I don't know. I'm kind of thinking about a career in the NFL. Yeah, I think I'm considering a career in the NFL. I'm going to identify as maybe a 22, 23-year-old running back. Who knows? You might see me on Sunday. Or not.
Talk radio that makes a difference. Makes a difference. This is Bob Burney Live.
Welcome again to Bob Burney Live. Thank you for joining me. Welcome to our listeners in Columbus, Ohio. Welcome to our listeners in Tampa, Florida. And I have the privilege of being your host in both locales today, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So thank you for joining me. This is funny. I just saw this on my Twitter feed. By the way, if you want to follow me on Twitter, my handle is at Bob Burney Live, B-U-R-N-E-Y, and you have to add live on the end, at Bob Burney Live, if you're into the whole Twitter thing. On Twitter, listen to this, and I'm looking at an incredible picture. Archaeologists in Pompeii, Italy, have made the extraordinary find of a frescoed hot food and drink shop that served up the ancient equivalent of street food to Roman passers-by. Now, when I first saw the picture and saw that it was uncovered in Pompeii, I thought, this is a parody site, because it's incredible. The paint on the fresco is bright, vibrant, bright yellows and greens and reds, and there is clearly a big rooster and a horse and some kind of other birds. I can't tell what they are. And it's clear where the food was served. It was like a taco stand. You know, street food, it's... And by the way, Pompeii was buried in volcanic ash in 79 AD. And they've been excavating there for years and years and years. And they just discovered this corner street food place. And to be honest, I have seen street food vendors in several countries that were not in as good a shape as this that they have uncovered in Pompeii, Italy, buried in 79 AD. That's incredible. The more things change, the more they stay the same. All right. This story, for those of you in Florida, you don't know a whole lot about me, but I say this continually on my program. I hate racism, I hate prejudice, I hate bigotry of all kinds. And I will support almost any organization or any individual who truly wants to unite us racially. But I am opposed to almost any individual or any organization that wants to divide us. And folks, listen, there are a lot of individuals and a lot of organizations today that under the guise of unity and equality are trying their best to divide us. talked about it a lot last week, but anyway, listen to this. This is a genuine proposal from a professor at Washington and Lee University. He believes that in order to provide reparations to black people, not only should they be paid financial reparations, their votes should count twice as much as black people. I'm not making this up. In an editorial, this professor, Brandon Hasbrook, from Washington and Lee University, says Joe Biden won the Electoral College because black voters in Atlanta, Detroit, Milwaukee, and Philadelphia turned out in significant numbers. But even with the overwhelming black support, 94% of Detroit voted for Biden. The outcomes in Georgia, Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania were worryingly close. And then he makes some other points with statistics, and he says this, and I quote, "This devaluation of black votes allows our political system to ignore black lives, and the consequences are devastating." And then he goes on and makes some more points. He says, "This is all by design. The Constitution's framers set up the Electoral College to protect the interests of slave states." Now, by the way, that's out there on social media. It is untrue. He says this, and I quote, "Another way to undo the damage of the Electoral College and other structurally racist political institutions, we can implement vote reparations by double counting ballots cast by all black residents." Now, he's serious. He is serious. So the old thing of one man, one woman, one vote, out the window. The thing of equality, out the window. He is honestly proposing that every black person's vote be counted twice, double, as compared to anyone else. And that would include Hispanics, Asians, or, you know, Native Americans, or whatever. Can you imagine the strife, the division, the anger, the bitterness that that would cause, the pride, the arrogance that that would cause? There are many people trying to tear America apart. We need to stand against racism and bigotry wherever we find it. Whether it's in the white community, it should be exposed and condemned. If it is in the black community, it should be exposed and condemned. That's what real equality is about. Thanks so much for joining me. I hope you have a great evening. But please, wherever you go and whatever you do, please remember whose you are.
Listen. Think. Discern.